Hello, and welcome to episode 27 of Engaging Internal Comms. This is the show for employee engagers and internal communicators who like to keep up to date with all that is new in our profession. My name's Craig Smith from The Big Picture People. This is the first time you've listened to Engaging Internal Comms. You're more than welcome. It's great to have you on board. If you've missed out on previous episodes, we have a previous 26 episodes available on your podcast platform or via our website, engagingic.com. Next week, I have an interview with Lindsay Outenbogard from Mirror Mirror. Lindsay is going to be telling us all about a concept that I've come across for the first time recently as a concept, which is employee alignment. And it's something I've realized that it's something I've been working in for pretty much all of my career, but I've not actually ever called it employee alignment. I've talked about employee engagement and internal comms, but employee alignment is a kind of a new way of looking at actually what we're aiming to achieve as employee engagers and internal communicators, and is actually a precursor to engagement. So I'm not going to spoil the interview next week. A really interesting interview. It's fascinating to think how, you know, alignment is a key part of what we are all trying to achieve as employee engagers or as internal communicators. So that will be next week. That's episode 28. And then we've got two more episodes in this first season after that. If you missed last week's show and you do listen to the show regularly, we are going to wrap up this season. Season one on the 29th of December. That will be the final show, and it'll just be a closeout show, really. There's not an interview that week. It'll just be me explaining or just talking a little bit about season one and then explaining what we've got coming up in season two and some of the interviewees we have lined up there. And that's going to be the end of season one. Season two will start straight after that, the week after, first week in 2021 will be our first episode. After that, we're going to go to a fortnightly pattern, or the interview shows anyway will be going out on a fortnightly basis, so every 2 weeks, and maybe interspersed with that, not every week, but between those there'll be a much shorter episode just with me, just talking about anything that I think will be of interest, any news that I've come across, or just an idea that I wanted to share with you. Just a short 10-15 minute episode max, but not every week. But the bulk of the main shows, the interview shows, will be going out on a fortnightly basis from the 5th of January 2021. I just wanted to make you aware of that. And also, just to, before the into this week's interview, I just want to just to reaffirm or mention, if you'd like to sign up to our mailing list, you can do that at engagingic.com. You can also leave us some feedback there. You can also join our Facebook group if you've not already done so. And finally, if you could subscribe to the show via your podcast platform of choice, it would really help us. It helps our visibility. Be very grateful. Anyway, on to today's interview. Measuring the culture of your organization is something that's very, very difficult. Early in my career, I was involved in processes that were aimed at trying to calibrate culture within an organization that I worked for as an employee at the time when I was working in an organizational development role. What we tried to do is we tried to go around different sites and measure various aspects of their culture so that we could create benchmarks within the business that would allow us to share best practice, but also to understand how well and that the culture was developing. And it was quite an insightful way of looking at things, and it went beyond just using a typical employment engagement survey, a normal employee engagement survey. So this is an area that I've always been fascinated in. Is there a way that you can actually put a tangible measure to how what our culture is and how successful our culture is? And I guess no more time is that more profoundly felt or comes to the fore as to when an organization is looking to acquire another organization, or when an organization is looking to sell itself to a potential acquirer. So I reached out to someone who's worked in this area of valuing culture within an M&A, a merger and acquisition environment, as a way of trying to understand how can we actually put a value on our culture and start to understand it. So it's a really interesting conversation, and it extends into looking at the value of big SetPlease employee engagement surveys, whether they're externally administered or whether you administer them yourself, which I think is another area that we sometimes think we're getting a good handle on our culture within our organization. But I guess the interviews you'll find is that actually the case? So I hope you enjoy the interview. So my interviewee today is Victoria Bond. Victoria is director at Space HR Limited, which are a new HR consultancy who help organizations to maximize their value of their teams, their people, and their culture. Victoria has a wealth of experience gained from a career in a number of senior HR roles in organizations such as Manchester Airport, the Access Group, and the emphasis within Victoria's career has been around mergers and acquisitions work, or more latterly anyway, and Victoria's going to tell us all about that. Victoria is particularly passionate about helping organizations to better measure and understand what their employees are thinking and feeling and finding ways to help their leaders to respond to that feedback in real time. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. So hello, Victoria, how are you?
Yeah, great. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Fantastic. And remind me, where are you based at the moment?
I'm in Altrincham in South Manchester.
Fantastic. And I don't know what it's like where you are, but it's been like a permanent twilight all day where I am. Is it what's the weather like where you are at the moment?
Definitely the same as that. Yeah, I'm in my kitchen and it's grim to go with the stereotype of Manchester. It's grim today.
There's a blanket of cloud across the north. Well, it's probably across the whole country at the minute, but it's certainly, I don't think I've been anywhere in the house today where I've not had to have the lights on.
That's very, right, yeah.
Very gloomy. But anyway, lovely to speak to you. So Space HR, I mentioned at the beginning there, new business. Tell us all about what Space HR is up to, going to be up to. What's your vision? What are your plans for this business?
Yeah, so if you take your mind back to lockdown number one, and I was on mat leave with baby number two and kind of started to have that conversation about what do I want to be when I grow up and what do I want to do with the rest of my life? And I realized that actually in one of my previous roles, I'd really caught that entrepreneurial bug and I was going to go out alone. And the stuff that I really, really have enjoyed doing in my career and the place that I always come back to is kind of employee engagement. And so I knew I wanted to build a business around employee engagement. And as she said at the start, the latter part of my career particularly has ended up with me being an accidental, as I call it, an accidental acquisition specialist just through sheer volume and opportunities that came my way. And so that then became my hook, really, of that why for clients. So, I genuinely think employee engagement can be an end of its own game, if you like. Yeah. You know, that can be an end outcome. But also it can be an end outcome, particularly it can go further with that. If you are looking to sell a business, be acquired or go through some kind of transaction, actually your people are an enormous part of that. And, I meet business owners who are so focused on clients and focused on sales and actually the people element, that employee engagement, it either happens or it's ticking along. And they are overlooking the value that having a really great team is adding to their business. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of the conversations that I have with clients is around really maximizing the value and the performance in their business through really kind of turning up the volume on employee engagement.
Yeah. No, I think it's really interesting. And I think, that story, I think that you said at the beginning, I know it's not the subject of the interview, but how I think we've all probably found ourselves in areas that we, kind of unintentionally, we never thought that was, where we're going to go. And I remember early part of my time of having my own business, ended up doing lots of work around change. And, I it found me rather than, it was something that I personally went out to kind of specialize in. And it's amazing how these things happen. But no, I think it's really great. And I think that, this is, again, not a show about business advice, but I think you've got to kind of find that you've got to let it come to you rather than kind of force it. So I think it's good that you've got that mindset. So I think that'll make you really successful. So I think this, I totally agree with you. I remember back, you know, when I first started my business, I was really interested in this idea, this notion of how do you measure and value the culture of an organization. And I guess you can look at that from two perspectives. Is one, as a kind of working, you know, as an ongoing venture itself, the business, how does that business value that culture and put a value on it? But I guess, as you've said there, the time that becomes, you know, an actual book value to that is when, you know, a business is looking to maybe sell or to be acquired, is where there's sometimes, you know, it's an intangible asset that's very difficult to pin down. And I guess is that how you perceive it? Is that that sort of value that you know how you've linked that kind of culture engagement thing to this sort of M&A work that you've sort of been involved in more latterly?
Yeah, it is. I think the scenario that I play in my mind when I'm thinking about this is a scenario that I've been in, you know, where you are sat in a boardroom and your potential investors are walking through your office and they're soaking up the atmosphere on the way through. You know, they're making a judgment about your business and whether they're going to invest about how that receptionist greeted them, you know, yeah. About whether what the mood in the office is as they're walking through. And those are small examples, but it matters. You know, if somebody's coming in to value your business and they've had a terrible experience from the people who work there, well, you're going to take points off. You're going to take pounds off the value of that business.
Mm. Yeah, and I guess that goes two ways. I guess, you know, that's something that a potential acquirer would want to know and be able to try and calibrate. But also, as a company, you want to. You know, you don't over-present yourself, but it's about making sure that, you know, you can actually quantify that, you know, if you've got a really engaged a team and engaged workforce, I guess that will show itself through the other results anyway, but it's being able to demonstrate that value, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I guess, I mean, again, without being specific and, you know, conscious that some of the specific examples, you probably can't talk about, but I mean, in terms of, where have you seen that come to a fore? You said you've been involved in that kind of activity and you've given some practical examples there of, you know, mm-hmm. of those touch points, have you seen that done really well where an acquirer or a seller has really been able to sort of put a tangible, to position that engagement and that intangible asset with that is their people in a way that's kind of added value to that transaction, whichever way you're looking at it?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the transactions that I was the HR director led through to sale when we were at Volcanic and we got acquired by the Access Group. You know, Access gave us some really great feedback about the talent that were in our business and the way that we presented them. You know, in that scenario that I played about walking through into the boardroom, that was real. You know, I was the HR director, sat around the board table whilst Access were marking our homework, if you see what I mean. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it helped that, of course, it helped that I was able to passionately, articulately talk about our talent and the things that we were doing. You know, we could talk about the levels of engagement in our business. We could talk about the length of service and the loyalty that we had from the team, you know, and that was backed up by the owners and the other operational leaders that were in that room. So it wasn't just a HR conversation.
Yeah.
And then I guess flipping onto the other side, which is what I then did, was I moved into Access and I headed up their mergers and acquisitions team. And I was then welcoming businesses on the other side. And I could see the difference that the teams would make that I got in, if you see what I mean. So, you know, you could tell if a team had been, was change ready and was prepped. You could tell if they were ready to become part of a much bigger team. You know, it would be nine times out of 10, you're buying a small organization and trying to fit them into a much larger organization. Yeah. That's the nature of acquisitions.
Yeah.
And it's a real mental, you know, as an employee, you've joined what might be a startup or a scale up or whatever it is, and you've got an identity.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got thoughts and feelings and emotions and engagement that's attached to a very independent, probably small business. And then when that gets picked up and put into a larger organization, that identity really shifts and it changes and and you know, you go, those employees go through this enormous change curve. And some of them opt out quite naturally and they say, no, this isn't the business that I joined. And some of them really flourish and thrive. And part of my role in that acquisitions role was doing the hearts and minds piece and helping kind of sell in that larger organization and get them falling in love with a new identity, if you like.
Yeah.
New culture, new values. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a number of things you've said there, which I think are really interesting. And I think one of the things that's coming out for me there is what are some of those measures? So you've mentioned about retention and maybe some of the more easier quantifiable things, but you've also mentioned a few other aspects there. So you know, if you were in that position of either looking to acquire a company or you were looking, you know, it sounds like you started, I know totally poacher turned gamekeeper, but you kind of started on the kind of, you know, you were sort of looking at how to sell a business, but then you ended up in an organization where you were more, it was more from the acquisition side of things. What would be some of the things that, you know, did you have a kind of scorecard? Did you have a way of calibrating? Did you have a way of kind of saying, okay, let's, these are the areas we need to look at and here's how we're going to measure them. So what would be some of the ways that you would go about actually putting some sort of flesh around those, that quite intangible area of culture?
Oh, in terms of kind of measures of success and what you should be.
Yeah, yeah. So you can get a real feel for what you're buying. Yeah. And then we'll come on to talk about the other part of what you just said there, which is about then, you know, how do we make sure that, well, once we've acquired, that we kind of do a kind of successful integration job, which I think is the other side of that. Yeah. So more on the kind of maybe upstream, I mean, the due diligence. How do you, you know, what would be some of the things that you would advise organizations? I mean, we're not just talking about this from an M&A perspective. We're looking at it also from, you know, actually knowing what we've got within our own organization. So we know where to sort of focus our attention. What are some of the areas that you would look at to say, these are kind of success measures which will give us a good indication as to how good, you know, how sustainable and leverageable this culture is to do what we want to do with it going forward?
It's interesting because there's physical things that you would look for that would give you an indication that things are happening appropriately in that business.
Yeah.
So you would look for example, really great employment contracts in place. You would look for whether, you know, if there are incentive schemes, they're appropriately managed and they're working effectively. Mm. You would look at whether there was any succession planning and the risk that's in that business with some of the key players in there.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are physical things that you would look for and kind of, you know, process things, if you like.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there are other things that, you know, if you've got an engagement survey, fantastic, big tick. If not, you know, how can you create a gut feel around engagement and some of those measures of success, if you like. So the stuff that I would always look for is like, leadership and management, you know, are the leaders and managers in there great at leading change and are they inspiring, you know, is it clear that they're going to be able to lead their teams through this big change transition? No, are the employees really connected into that business? Have they, you know, the vision's going to change? Can we articulate a new vision? You know, will they get bought into it? You know, they've got fulfilling roles. Are they well designed? Have they got some real pride around working for that organization that we can transfer? You know, and are they well looked after? You know, is well being? Are they supported? Are they safe? Are they secure? You know, can they be authentic? And I guess whilst they're success measures, they're also the stuff that you would focus on and make sure that you're driving in any good engagement
any
model,
good
I guess.
Organization. And would you talk to employees as part of that process? Would you actually, you know, interview them or talk, or would you kind of rely on, you know, kind of like a desktop sort of analysis of that? Or would you actually, you know, I guess different organizations would be more or less, I guess there's a process that needs to be followed, and you know, you can't just announce yourself and going, "Oh, we're just checking you out because we're thinking of buying your company." There's, I guess, that to consider. But would you actually try and speak to people if you could?
Yeah, definitely. Mm. But there's always that fine line around confidentiality, isn't there? You usually got NDAs on your desk and non-disclosure agreements and all that kind of stuff. But you know, I think if you can get a feel in the best way possible, then that's, you know, that's good. Usually you can spend time with the leadership team and you can make some assessments about their, I don't want to use the word capability, but their approach, I guess.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get a feel for them. And as I say, you can kind of soak up the atmosphere in a business without announcing why you're there. That sounds very cloak and dagger, but I guess, like I say, you are weighing up that confidentiality that happens around acquisitions.
Yeah. And I guess there's also a strong element of context. So it might be that, you know, this is a great organization, and you alluded to this, this might be a great organization as it is, but would it work within the kind of under the umbrella of this other organization? Because that might, you know, there might not be a cultural fit there. And I remember, you know, one of the first pieces of work I did when I went out on my own, it was a facilitation job, and I was kind of facilitating the kind of coming together of two senior teams. And I remember, you know, it became immediately apparent to me fairly early on this was a strange, you know, this was a real kind of, I guess it was kind of, you know, and to visualize it, it was a sort of a kind of grumpy old man in a kind of creased suit buying a Silicon Valley type, sort of millennial and who just, you know, was very, very kind of relaxed and laid back. And it was just, you know, and it came to a head the second day where the guy, you know, the kind of guy who was the CEO of the company that had, you know, acquired this company kind of said, you know, I haven't a clue why we bought this outfit, because there's just no fit, is there at all? And that was, you know, that wasn't an insubstantial acquisition. So I guess those two companies were great on their own, but together, is it going to be additive, or is it actually going to kind of damage, you know, the very thing that we're buying? And I guess that's always a consideration that you would need to be taking. It's not just on its own, it's brilliant, but would it fit in with this bigger entity that's the entity that's consuming it? I guess that's always a consideration as well.
Oh, definitely. Because, you know, I don't know whether it's the case for all acquisitions, but the ones that I was working on, you know, we were buying them to grow them and get additional revenue, value, you know, profitability out of them. If you are taking a team across and you don't get it right and they're not a good fit, it's like slamming the brakes on in that business. You know, you're naturally going to get some pause whilst you go through adjustment, and some of the pace will come out of whatever it was that you're trying to achieve. You're always going to try and get that. But I guess the trick then is to try and then facilitate them back into their stride in a new organization, so that you can hit the earn out, or you can hit the figures, or you can whatever that kind of that next end goal is. You're always going to need that team to be really engaged and really charged up.
And you mentioned that the other part of what we were talking about is you were saying, you know, that you work to help to get into, you know, integrate. So, you know, I guess there's never a perfect fit. There's always going to be some inconsistencies or you know, bits that don't naturally fit together. But you mentioned about part of that role is then once you've made the acquisition is making sure that, and so what are some of the practical things you can do to, you know, successfully And I guess we're using the analogy of a smaller organization being consumed by a bigger one, but it doesn't necessarily, you know, it's probably relative. But yes, what are some of the ways you can help integrate that new team? And I guess help them feel as though it's more of a merger than a takeover, I guess, is part of that. It's that it's a meeting of minds rather than you need to just change the way you do things now to comply with our processes and systems. What were some of the sensitivities around that?
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, I think there's a point there around respect, isn't there? And you know, that business has probably maybe been bought because it's either got potential or it's already thriving. So be respectful about the way that they operate. You know, there's always learnings of ways that you do things. See it as an opportunity rather than just we're just going to whitewash and you're going to do things our way. And part of that is respect, and part of it is just good business sense, right? So I think that's the first part. I think the second part is don't underestimate the role that the people leaders will play in that transition and in that change with landing that change. You know, the first people, those employees, you know, if you've got a big team and you're trying to get them through a change, the first people they're probably going to ask questions to is their leaders. And if you can brief them and make them comfortable first, you know, they can then help transition the team through, and you've kind of got some change agents then, as I would call them, and you can kind of scale your change then. And those people leaders are very, I've found, very influential on how quickly that change goes through. And then I think the final bit, and I guess it's all probably connected, is just communicate. So make sure that you understand what the feeling is in that business, and that you are doing what you say you're going to do. If they've asked questions or they've raised an issue or whatever, you know, make sure you're getting the feedback in so you understand what's happening, and then make sure that you are telling them as much as you can without overwhelming them, because it's a really overwhelming time as well.
Yeah. And I guess all of those things apply. I mean, you know, and I guess we, you know, as I said at the beginning, we're talking, you know, your area of expertise is around M&A, but actually all of those principles apply in any change situation, you know, with leadership, visibility, communication, transparency. All of those things I think are important. And, you know, when we're looking at this idea of what, you know, constitutes a good culture, or, you know, a kind of go to, you know, enduring sort of ideas anyway, aren't they? So I think that's it's good, but it's good to sort of, I guess, contextualize that in the sense of, you know, this is where they kind of can really come to a fore, and you really started to value them and understand, you know, how you can damage that value as well. So one of the areas that we were going to talk about, and you mentioned it already, and then again, if we're talking about measuring organizational culture, regardless of whether it's an M&A perspective, is this idea of the traditional way of measuring, you know, how engaged our people are, which is the, you know, the annual, biannual, however often, employee engagement survey, and, you know, kind of the usual thing, and there are lots of, you know, systems and processes out there that people use to do that. Now I know we kind of try to chatted about this when we had our kind of pre-interview conversation a few weeks ago, and we talked about this idea that both of us are kind of not this massive fan of these huge set piece kind of sit everyone down and do a big survey, you know, however you do it. I mean, am I right in saying that, and why, what are some of your own experiences of why that isn't always the best way of getting to kind of know what your people are thinking, feeling, and then being able to respond to that appropriately?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that I can really get on my soapbox with. I think we should definitely be measuring employee engagement, because it matters. You know, what gets measured gets done, that old adage. So it's important. But I think some of the traditional ways that we've done that, you know, like you've said, annually, it kind of gives out the message that we only really care once a year what our employees are saying. And, you know, I think there's some disengagement that gets tangled up in that whole process. And then, you know, some of the survey some of the survey tools that I've done in the past, you know, you'll get this enormous wealth of data, but it'll take some time to come back. Or even if you get it back instantly, you've got this enormous wealth of data that you then have to plow through and pull out the messaging, and then you have to go back out to your employees and tell them all about it, and then it gets forgotten about. Mm-hmm. And there are absolutely examples where organizations are nailing this. There absolutely is. But there are also an awful lot of examples where it's tick box, or it's just not having the impact that it should do. And then it's really easy to get caught up in just the numbers, but actually a lot of these tools give you written feedback, and that's almost like a bolt on. But your employees have taken the time that's something that they really want you to know, and it kind of gets lost in this data.
No, I completely agree. I think, you know, the analogy of, you're often, you know, a couple of good analogies that people have either heard mention about this type of ways of doing engagement is, it's a bit like driving your car by permanently looking in your rearview mirror. You know, you it's not looking forward, it's looking backwards. And you know, even with a very responsive, that type of survey, I mean, there are kind of real time things which are very different, but actual, you know, these kind of big set piece surveys, is even one that's turned around really quickly, at best you're looking at information and opinions and views that are probably weeks old. And is that, you know, was that contemporary? Was that something that was linked to something that was just happened, you know, so maybe something's been announced on the news and everybody's feeling gloomy that day, or is it kind of like meaningful data? So I think there's that aspect, but there's also, you know, I think the, you know, probably a little less pleasant analogy of, you know, you don't make a, well, you don't make a cow heavier by weighing it. And actually, you know, I think the problem is that sometimes by measuring it, it gives the illusion that we're doing something about it, but actually we're not. We're not actually making it better. We're just measuring it. That's all we're doing. And then actually, unless we actually, like you said, you turn that reams of data and qualitative and quantitative information to something meaningful that actually gets our people to say, yeah, I can see you heard what I've said, and I'm really happy now because I can see you doing something about it. And that's really difficult to do as a leader, isn't it? Because you've just got tons of other things to do. You know, this is just one thing that you're trying to manage. And so I think there's that kind of lagging effect can be a real problem as well. Would you concur? Is that your own experience?
Yeah, definitely. And I think I've done this in my previously in my HR career. You know, I think been so desperate to prove my own commerciality. That I have just focused on the numbers, and actually it is more than that, because it becomes really easy to miss the point. And actually what it then does is that those tools then become quite destructive. And they become something else that adds into that, that kind of makes a withdrawal for that employee engagement bank account that I often talk about. Because, well, I told you this last time, you've still not done anything with it. And 12 months later, you've asked me again, and I'm telling you again, hello. It does the opposite of what you're trying to do.
Exactly. It's worse than asking in the first place, isn't it? If you can ask me my opinion and not do anything about it, then it's an opposite of a hygiene factor. It's going to make it worse rather than better. I agree. I've seen that. And I think also unintended consequences is another problem as well, which is, you know, we've interpreted what you said in this way and we've done something about it, but we've misinterpreted it because we didn't go back to you. And, you know, it's a bit like doing a consumer test and saying which flavor did you like, this one or that one, and they say this one, but then you don't go back and say, well, what was it about it that you liked? You're not giving people an opportunity to do that. And I think that often means that you've then got to do quite a lot of qualitative follow-up to find out why people said what they said. Also, there's always the danger of you kind of do something and solve a problem that actually wasn't there, or make something worse that actually was okay. So
Or there's just, you know, a lot of wasted time and effort and budget, dare I say, that sometimes goes into it, doing stuff to try and improve engagement.
Yeah.
Whereas actually, you know, you probably just didn't quite get under the skin of what it was that wasn't connecting in the first place.
Mm. So I know you, this is something you're kind of you're working on at the moment, and you've got something in the pipeline. I mean, tell us as much as you can at the minute about what it is you're working on. You've got quite an innovative solution to this that I think you're hoping to sort of bring out within the relatively near future. I know I'll let you tell us what you feel comfortable telling us about that.
Yeah, sure. So I'm working on an employee engagement model that I'll happily share with anybody who wants to connect with me on LinkedIn. And then, you know, I'm trying to work on ways as Space HR's clients that, you know, we can then start to really drive some change and some results into businesses. You know, we're looking at methodologies and tools and you know, so one of the things that I did as part of Space HR is, you know, I want to try and help as many organizations as I can create these great working environments, because that makes UK society, whatever you want to call it, that little bit better, doesn't it? One organization at a time. And so what I'm trying to do is look at ways to kind of scale that up, I guess. So it's terribly mysterious, isn't it? But I think, you know, if anybody does want to kind of follow me on LinkedIn or whatever, then, you know, to keep in touch.
It sounds interesting. Yeah. And you've told me a little bit more, and I'm not going to divulge, but I do think it's very worth keeping an eye on and connecting with you and staying in touch, because I think it's quite an exciting idea, but I can totally understand that you don't want to share too much at this point, because it's not something you want to anybody else running off with. So no, it sounds really, really interesting though. So, I mean, part of that you've kind of alluded to is that whole, you know, how do we get this sort of all of this data, all of this information in a way that we can actually manage it, that doesn't kind of, I guess, reduce it too simplistically, you know, to make it kind of meaningless. But I guess that's part of what your thing's going to be able to help leadership teams to do. Yeah.
Yeah. I think what I'm trying to do is help those teams get data, get feedback. My principle is nobody knows how to improve engagement in your business like your employees. So, you know, ask them regularly, ask them often, you know, and once you've asked them, go and do something about it and bake it into the way that you run your business. You know, the risk of repeating myself, you know, I've seen a million employee engagement plans that get crafted and then sat in a drawer, and it's a waste, because it's fabulous information, you know, and your employees are really sharing with you what they care about. And it really can improve your business. You know, if you're looking how to, what the next 1% improvement in your business looks like, go and dig out your employee engagement survey, or go and ask your employees what would really make a difference to them, or you know, focus on employee engagement.
No, I agree. And I think if you can get them involved in some way, prioritizing that and helping them realize that you can't do everything, but, you know, if we were to do something, what would make the biggest difference? And sometimes it's the easy stuff that you kind of thought, oh, you know, that probably isn't going to make much of an impact, but it's actually, you know, it's often sort of little trivial things that you can do and change that, you know, really give you the biggest impact. It's not always the big stuff, you know, so that's what my experience anyway. So
I think the analogy I have is, I mentioned it earlier, you know, that your employee engagement part is like a bank account, you know, and the currency that's in it allows you to go and buy stuff like business performance or loyalty or retention or whatever it is. And actually every single thing that you do in that business either is a deposit or a drawal from an employee engagement perspective. And so what I do is I really try and help leaders look at, you know, all those deposits that they're making, you know, because even a form that an employee it gets on their nerves every time they're filling it in.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a withdrawal out of that employee engagement part, you know? Yeah. And then you've got to put some more back in to fill it back up.
Yeah, yeah. We used to use the Lake of Goodwill as a similar sort of analogy. Oh, okay. Which is, but I think I like the bank account because it's more tangible, and you can, you know, you could have all sorts of visual metaphors of people going to the cash point and you know, getting overdrawn and stuff. And so, yeah, no,
I get carried away with it. Yeah,
definitely. I like that. I like that one. Yeah, yeah. Maybe there's an opportunity there to sort of create something around that. So,
yeah.
Look, so that's been really, really interesting conversation. I think, you know, for me, it's fascinating your work that you've been doing. You know, I think, you know, the mergers and acquisition stuff is always an area I've always sort of been interested in. As I said, right back at my, you know, my career, I was always interested in, you know, is there something out there that you could use to help organizations to do that and offer a service to sort of, you know, do the due diligence on the people stuff. I think you've given some really interesting insights there, but not just from, you know, even if a company is not looking at any point to acquire or to be acquired, I think there's a really interesting kind of principle there, which is, you know, valuing and measuring that cultural, bit of your balance sheet and not just seeing it as something that's fluffy and, you know, something that we just hope it's okay. But I think that, you know, and then that flows into what you just been talking about there, which is, you know, the whole thing around finding ways to measure that and that not relying on these kind of, you know, big sort of monolithic surveys, which are great, but better than doing nothing, but certainly, you know, they aren't always going to be able to sort of achieve the purpose, which is what you're trying to do, which is to, you know, is to add value to that cultural bottom line, as it were. So mm-hmm. That's been brilliant. We'll sort of wrap up with a couple of other things in a minute, but anything to add just before we finish the sort of body of the interview itself?
I'm done. Thank you. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk about it really passionately. Thank you.
Well, yeah, no, that's fine. Well, we're not done yet because I forewarned you. You know, I have this slot every interview, which is the sort of thing at the end, which is, you know, things that we don't know about you, or even people who know you quite well don't know about you. So I'm looking to sort of find out what's your sort of your surprising secret story or passion or whatever it is that you're going to tell us all about, Victoria.
Oh, okay, so. This is something that some of my ex-colleagues will know and remember about me. But my when I was pregnant with my first daughter and I was working at Manchester Airport, my waters broke in Terminal 1.
Oh, wow.
I went out for a sandwich at lunchtime and never came back. And
right.
I had no idea what was happening. It was my first baby, very confused. I drove myself to the hospital and then ended up doing. So my boss at the time was just fabulous, Jane Carter. And she was really supportive and cancelled all my meetings that afternoon. But that afternoon was all about my handover with my job share partner who was coming in to do my mat leave. And I ended up doing it at home through contractions. Totally bonkers.
Wow.
Not because anybody had asked me to do it like that, just no. You know, just because no. You know, it's quite boring early stages of labor, so why not just
just dedication.
So I just disappeared out of that business one day because I'd just gone off to get a sandwich at lunchtime and then just never came back.
Where's Victoria gone? It's just a very long lunch break that she's taking. And is it a bit like, I know in John Lewis, I believe if you brought waters break in John Lewis, you get a big ham. Do you get like a free flight or anything like that?
No,
free lounge access for life at the airport. No.
I didn't even get my sandwich free. Outrageous. Yeah.
What is the world coming to? and I guess it's a bit of a precursor to, you know, working virtually, you know, doing your handover or else to, you know, in contractions and all that sort of stuff. So,
My message from that would be don't be a hero. You don't need to be.
No, just give in
to it and just.
There's legitimate excuses for not being able to do what you meant to be doing. Yeah. So
don't be crazy like I was. Yeah.
Well, that is a first for the show. I don't think that is definitely, I've never had anyone announce that or give me that as their sort of secret story. So no, that's brilliant. Well, thank you very much for sharing that. Victoria, you've already mentioned a couple of things about, I think you mentioned it's okay for people to reach out to you on LinkedIn, and I'll put the link to your profile in the show notes. Love is there any that, other any other ways that people can connect with you, talk to you, engage with you, that you're happy for us to share?
Start with LinkedIn. There is a website, but yeah, start with LinkedIn and start there. I'm always really keen to keep building my network, and anyone who'd like to continue a passionate conversation about this stuff, then yeah, get in touch.
Fantastic. No, I'll definitely put those links in there for you, Victoria. Well, look, absolutely brilliant, really good conversation. All the best with your with everything, with you, with Space HR, but also with this this secret product that you're doing, when we can share that with the world as well. And obviously, once you do get that out there, then let us know, and we'll put some links in that to, you know, our social media and stuff, and get that let the people who follow up with people on that as well. So happy to sort of point people your way there. Well, thank you again, and I don't think it's going to get any lighter. It's definitely getting gloomier here, but that's probably because it's getting dark anyway. But I wish you all the best, Victoria. Thank you very much for your time, and as I say, all the best for the future.
Oh, thanks, Craig. Cheers.
Bye. Ideally, everyone in your organization would be on the same page. They'd be facing in the same direction and towards its vision and goals. However, in today's fast-moving world, as we all know, it can be really hard to get employees to see the big picture. For example, what are we aiming for? How are we going to get there? And how does my role contribute? When your employees don't see the big picture, they can make the wrong decisions, they may feel less of a sense of belonging, and they may not fully contribute towards your organization's objectives. So how do you consistently put large numbers of people in the picture in a way that helps them understand what your organization is trying to achieve, but also do that in an engaging and effective way? At The Big Picture People, we combine visualization, discussion, and interaction to fully engage your employees in the organization's big picture. We create light bulb moments for your employees, and we bring your values, your strategies, your objectives, and your change processes to life in a really rich, clear, and visual way. We also show your employees the complexity of the world that you're operating in and how their role contributes towards organizational priorities. So if you see the value of putting your people in the picture, head across to thebigpicturepeople.co.uk and book a free 30-minute consultation call via the link on our homepage. So thank you very much for listening to Engaging Internal Comms. We hope you found this episode useful and interesting. We'd love to get your thoughts about the show and any questions you have or ideas for topics that you'd like to maybe cover in future episodes. You can email us at info@thebigpicturepeople.co.uk, or you can get in touch with us via the contact form at engagingic.com. You can also sign up for our mailing list there, and we'll send you relevant news about the show, future episodes, and we'll also let you know about anything interesting we found out about internal communications and employee engagement. If you like the show and you haven't already done so, please subscribe to it via your podcast service. And you can also subscribe via the links on our podcast page, which again is engagingic.com. If you like the show, we'd be really grateful if you could leave us a review. And if you know anyone else who might be interested in the show or might benefit from it, please let them know. Please share it with them and share them with them the links to the show and engagingic.com. Thank you very much.